theme for the year is we are being transformed into the image of Christ. I want us to think about that for the next little bit. I've heard it said that you are what you eat. So any pizzas here? Hamburgers. Any hamburgers here? Okay. How about sushi? Any sushi in the house? And I have to get this in for Janine King. Any tofu? Okay, it's the fewest amount of hands. I kind of expected that one. Some say we are what we eat. Some say we are what we read. Okay, anybody want to fess up? Comic books? Oh, come on, tell the truth. Comic books, okay. Cookbooks. Textbooks. That was a safe one to ask. Some say we are what we read. Others say we are what we think. So you'll hear them say phrases like, get the attitude of gratitude. Right? Or stop your stinking thinking. Some say we are what we think. Our text for the evening says, we are what we behold. We are what we behold. So turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. It'll be on the screen behind us, but I want you to have it in your hands too. Do need you to read it with me from the screen. It's from the New American Standard Bible and not the NIV. So read it with me, would you? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit, the Word of the Lord. Let's just practice that one. That's a good practice to start. I'll say the Word of the Lord, and you say, thanks be to God. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There are some verses in the Bible whose meanings are plain and simple. Doesn't take long to unpack them. And then there are verses like this one. Almost every phrase refers to something else. Almost every little bit of word there refers to something else in the passage. So we've got to take a few minutes to unpack some of this stuff. The first thing that I want us to know is that there is a simple sentence inside this verse, and it is this. We all are being transformed. That's the essence of the verse. Say it with me. We all are being transformed. Now, some of you are from the Mason-Dixon line, or south of the Mason-Dixon line, and so y'all. But this is a we-all, not a y'all. We all. And when Paul begins his thought here, though, he has some certain people in mind. The we all that he's talking about here doesn't mean everyone. It doesn't mean everyone. It is possible for all to belong to Christ. Yes? It is possible for all to proclaim him as Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But that's not what Paul's saying here. The phrase we all refers to anyone who has turned toward the Lord, whose focus is on him. In fact, if you have your Bibles, go up a couple of verses to verse 16. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. That's the we all that he is referring to. Open to anyone, open to anyone. But the turning is necessary. It's not an option. And interestingly, we are able to see the Lord more clearly after we've turned to him than we could before. There's a whole nother sermon about the veil. We're not going to go there tonight. I just want you to know that I know it's there. We are able to see the Lord more clearly after we turn to him than when we could before. We all are being transformed. And I'm just waiting for somebody to sing Transformers, More Than Meets the Eye. Shows you how old I am. The result of our turning and our beholding is that we are being changed. We are being transformed. We are not who we were, but we are becoming who we were meant to be. Now, this is not the kind of change that we hear about so often. Sometimes in a television interview or on a YouTube video, you'll hear somebody say, after going through that, I'll never be the same again. Well, that's true of special times in our lives. It's true of traumatic times in our lives. It's even true of the ordinary times. See, the truth is, every moment, we're never the same as we were the moment before. You're different now. You're different now. Every moment, we're never the same as we were the moment before. But what Paul is talking about here, he is describing a transformation that someone is working in us. It's not circumstance. It's not the result of our efforts. Someone is transforming us, changing the very essence of who we are. One writer put it this way: only the grace of God is kind enough, and the power of God strong enough to achieve this transformation in our broken and darkened lives. Let me say it again. Only the grace of God is kind enough, and the power of God strong enough to achieve this kind of transformation in our lives. We know it to be so, don't we? All in favor say aye. Paul agrees with the commentary. In fact, he says so at the end of verse 18. This transformation is the work of the Lord. Who is the Spirit? Not us. We're not the ones who are making the change. He is. He is. So we all ought to practice that one. We all are being transformed, but into what? Well, the text says, into the same image. Well, which image is that? Well, it's the image that we're beholding. It's the image that we're beholding as if looking in a mirror. It is the image of the glory of God. The glory of the Lord. Now, in this passage, the name Lord refers to Yahweh, the Lord of hosts. And we see Yahweh's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the one we're beholding if we've turned toward the Lord. If we've turned His way. To remind you, the gospel that John said this about our Jesus. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son. We are beholding the glory of the Lord in the face, in the person, Jesus Christ. We are being transformed into Christ-likeness. We're becoming more and more like Jesus. We're reflecting Him more and more the longer we're looking His way. People see a bit more of Him in us today than they did yesterday. And they see a bit more of Him tomorrow than they do today. When I was working through all this, it reminded me of an old testimony I'd heard from time to time. I'm not what I want to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. So the simple sentence in the verse is, we all are being transformed, and the rest of it is into the image of Christ. That's what's possible. That's what can be. But the passage implies that there are alternatives. The passage implies that not everyone is beholding Christ in this way. Again, if you work back through chapter 3, and I think Dr. Powers would agree this would be a great exegetical project for someone. Not everyone beholds Christ this way. So Paul wants to remind us that who we are beholding makes a difference. Who we are beholding makes a difference. There are some who know about Christ, but they choose to look another way. What they are beholding is something other than the Lord who's revealed himself in Jesus. Old gospel song that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." The text says that just the opposite is true if we turn our eyes elsewhere. If we behold something or someone other than Jesus Christ, then the things of earth will grow brighter and brighter. They will grow more and more appealing. They will grow more and more beckoning, all the while dimming the glory of his love and grace. If we behold something or someone other than the Christ, then the things of the earth will grow more and more brighter, and we may lose sight of him. Also want to remind us that who we're beholding makes a difference. Who we're beholding offers us hope. It doesn't depend on us, it depends on him. Yes? Aren't you glad that we don't have these pre-qualifying things that make it possible for us to behold him? He says, just look my way. Behold me. Fully beholding Christ makes it possible for us to fully realize what it means to be made in the image of God. Look at the person next to you. Go ahead. This is not a trick. Just look at the person next to you. They were made in the image of God, and so are you. Fully beholding Christ makes it possible for us to realize all that means. It's the meaning of our original status as creatures in God's image, one writer put it. And he goes on to say that these changes, this transformation is not only possible, but it's natural. Because it's what God has had in mind from the beginning. It's what he's had in mind from the beginning. In fact, in Romans 8:28, it says, God has intended for us, it says, that we are to be, can be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. It's hope for those who feel stuck. Anybody ever feel stuck? Stuck in the moment and can't get out of it? It's also hope for those of us who think we've arrived. Because we haven't. Because we haven't. But it means that he has more for us to do. More for us to realize. More for us to be. One other thing about this transforming is that who we are beholding is transforming us now and will be transforming us until we come again. This is not a one-time deal. This is an ongoing process where we become more and more and more like the Christ that we're beholding. He doesn't intend for us to wait until the end of time, until our days are almost up to get it right. He says, why not make this happen now? This is what I have in mind for you. He fully intends for us to be engaged in the process here and now. It's not an otherworldly process. It's not a transformation that takes us out of where we live. It's not just a spiritual process that doesn't have anything to do with our daily lives. It is a transformation today. And it's a transformation tomorrow and the next day. Regardless of who you live next door to, regardless of how much homework your professor expects you to complete. In the here and now, the transformation into Christ's likeness is what he has in mind for us. So the question we need to ask ourselves is this. Are we fully turned toward the Lord, or are we just kind of looking in his general direction? You ever have conversations with somebody when they talk to you like this? You know, or they look at the side of their eyes, their head. If we're fully turned toward him, the result in us will be our becoming a mirror image of Christ. Christ-likeness. If we're just kind of looking in his general direction, it'll result in us becoming a caricature that looks like one of those images that we see in the funhouse mirrors at the county fair. Big head, big body, big feet, big something. But it's not Christ-likeness, it's a caricature. If we're fully beholding the Christ, then the transformation that takes place will be the work of the Holy Spirit. It will last for eternity. If we're only glancing at Jesus occasionally, then the transformation will be the work of self-determination, self-actualization, self-help. It'll make a difference, but in the end, it won't get us to where we want to be. So, the question, where are we in the transformation process? Are we where Christ wants us to be? Are we where we could be? Have we settled for something less? Behold, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Let it be so. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing a song that I want us to use as our prayer song. I invite you to consider where you are in the transformation process and respond in the way that God would want you to.